It's good to be worshiping with my church family this morning. It's always a good study here in Franktown. I enjoy Sabbath school a lot, by the way. And I was lucky enough to hang out with the teens this morning. And I always learn something from teens when I do a Bible study with them. I'm always learning different things. I hear their perspective on things. And it's really fresh. I enjoy it. I think maybe Terry Anderson has missed his calling in ministry. I think maybe when we do the nominating committee, we'll put him in kindergarten division or something. That was really good. I enjoyed that. I can remember when I was learning how to pray. I was a kid, and most of the time, you know, maybe before you go to bed or maybe around the dinner table, your parents teach you how to pray, or maybe if you're at church, they teach you how to pray at church. But I remember I would sit around the table, and sometimes it would be my turn to pray, and I had it down pat. I would say this exact phrase: "Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. Bless the hands that have prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen." And I had it down pat, and I could say it really fast, too. And the older I got, the more I thought more about, all right, well, what is prayer? What am I saying, and who am I saying it to? And I can remember a little bit later in life, I would be laying in bed at night, and I would have something on my heart, something that was bothering me, or a request of some sort, and I can remember praying to God and saying, all right, Lord, here's what's on my heart. Here's what I need some help with. And I can remember being, thinking, well, am I praying long enough? Should I pray a little bit longer? Is this long enough? And I would try and bring up more things to talk about to God, and then the next thing I knew, I would be waking up in the morning, and I was like, I totally fell asleep praying last night. How rude! And I would, and I was learning how to pray. Sometimes I would learn that prayers can be very short, and that's okay. I was a summer camp counselor at Pine Springs Ranch in Southern California, and we would have blind camp. And blind camp was a ton of fun. We'd have all the kids different camps and teen camps and things, but blind camp was a lot of fun. And I remember very vividly there was a gentleman, and he's about 74, 75 years old, and he'd been blind his whole life. And I got to know this guy, and we would eat at the cafeteria together, and I was in his cabin, and he would get up. It was really cool. He'd get up in the morning, and he had a Braille Bible. And I would see him sitting there in his bed, and he'd be just going through and reading his devotions in the morning by his fingertips. I'll never forget that. I just stopped and looked. And I was like, wow, that is so cool. And so one time we were talking, and he was kind of just bringing up some of the things that that he kind of missed out on since he had been blind. Some things he wished he could have always done. And one of them, he said, I always wish I could have driven. I've never been able to drive anything in my whole life, for obvious reasons. Completely blind. I really wish I could have driven, 75 years, never driven anything. So I was 19 or so, and I said, well, you want to drive something? And the expression on his face just went like, really? He said, what are you talking about? I was like, well, do you want to drive something? Should be able to drive. Everybody should be able to drive once in their life. He says, yeah, I'd love to drive something. I said, all right, meet me at the front of the lodge, because they had all these different ropes people could follow to get places. I said, meet me at the front of the lodge at 2:30. We're going to go driving. Okay, I'll be there. So I met him there at 2:30. I had the keys to the go-kart shack. And they had this souped-up, juiced-up two-seater go-kart. And I had the keys, so I went and got this thing, fired it up, had two helmets, went ripping through camp, pulled up right in front of the lodge, and there he was, and he could hear me coming. He got a big old smile on his face. So I killed the engine, got up, came over, walked him over to the driver's side of this thing, put his helmet on, made sure, put my helmet on, and I sat him down in the driver's seat of this go-kart, and I put his hands on the steering wheel, and I told him where his foot, okay, the right one is the gas, that makes you go, the left one's the brake, that makes you stop. And I don't know if you remember when you learned how to drive, but you don't really know how fast and how much to push or whatever, and it's usually 100 miles an hour or nothing. And the brakes the same way. And so I went through the whole thing, and I went around, put my seatbelt on, made sure he had his seatbelt on, and I was like, all right, I'll tell you where to go. And it was a big, huge parking lot, and there were really tall curbs in this parking lot, really tall curbs. And I remember looking and seeing those and being somewhat nervous and then forgetting about it. And this was like the coolest part of this guy's life. He was getting to drive. This is something he dreamed of doing his whole life. Never thought he'd be able to do it. And I was just tickled to be riding shotgun. And so I was like, all right, well, let's go easy onto the gas and let's take off. And so his foot was on the gas and my easy was different than his easy. And whew, we were gone and we were flying. And so far it was so good because it was wide open. And the smile on this guy's face, feeling the wind in his face, and he had control over how fast we were going, and we were moving. He had that thing floored straight towards one of those curbs. And that's when I realized that short prayers were okay, too. God help us now, please. I was like, hang a right, and he's like, and hard right, and hit the brakes, you know, just going all the way. And he had so much fun. And I was praying the whole time. Help me not to get killed in this. And eventually the ride was over. Helped him get out. And, man, you couldn't wipe this guy's smile off his face for the whole week that we were up there. It was so fun. But we pray in different ways based on sometimes the situation that we're in. Sometimes longer prayers, sometimes shorter prayers. There's a prayer I want to look at with you in the Bible today. And it's in a book that you may not read a whole lot. You may not be like, this is my favorite book. It's in the book of Nehemiah. And it starts right off with a prayer. And it's really a beautiful prayer. If you've never read this prayer in Nehemiah, it's a really cool prayer. And we're going to go through it a little bit today. Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 1, said the words of Nehemiah the son of Hakila. The month of Kislev, the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa. Anybody heard of the term Susa before, the city of Susa? Does that ring a bell from anywhere else in the Bible? Esther? It's over in the Middle East, and archaeologists, there's some variable on where exactly it was, but most people agree that it's about 100 miles north of the Persian Gulf. North, just a little bit of Kuwait, right on the Kuwaiti-Iraqi border, which used to be a beautiful, beautiful area. I flew through Kuwait one time, and it was ugly. It was horribly ugly. But back in the day, it was known as the Fertile Crescent, that whole area, and it was known to be beautiful. So here we are in the Susa, and it says, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that survived the exile, and also about Jerusalem. So Nehemiah is in Susa, Babylon-ish, and most of the Israelites were taken there by force. There were some that were left behind. Things were left in ruin, and here he's getting one of his brothers coming to visit, and he's saying, how is everyone back there? What's going on back at home? How is everyone doing? You know what? I think this is one of the best things we can do as Christians, is to check up on people. And just call somebody up, go visit somebody and say, how are you doing? I haven't seen you in a little while. How have you been? How's your health been? How's your heart been? How's your family? You know, it's so special to have someone care, isn't it? To have someone just express interest in you. And in what's going on in your life. And this is so cool that Nehemiah, the first thing he says is, hey, how's everybody doing? How are you guys doing? It must be tough back there. How's it been? How's your courage? How's your faith? Those are some tough questions. Not a lot of people will sit down with you on the couch and say, you know, how's your faith doing today? That's kind of a scary question. You feel like you're intruding almost a little bit, saying, how's your courage? How's your faith today? How's your trust in God been lately? Not many people ask that question because it's a loaded question. You never know what you're going to get. You might get a two-hour answer, but that might be what that person needs, to just talk about how they've been doing, to realize that someone is interested. One of the best things I think we can do in our witness is to ask how people are doing, and instead of responding, listening. A lot of times we're tempted to try and problem solve. How are you doing? I've got this. I've got the answer for that. Just listen to what I have to say. When that's not really what they need. one of the best things we can do is ask how they're doing and listen. And this is what Nehemiah is doing. He says, hey, how are you guys doing? How are you doing? How is everyone doing back at home? And they said, verse 3, those who survived the exile are back in the province, and they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates have been burned with fire. Nehemiah says, when I heard these things, I sat down and I wept. And for some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. You see, Nehemiah had done this all the time. In the book Prayer, I love this book. It's a book just called Prayer. And it goes through different aspects of prayer. It says, Nehemiah had often poured out his soul on behalf of his people. This guy was a layman. He wasn't a priest or anything else. He was a cupbearer in the king's palace. And yet, he didn't have to have any position to have a huge burden on his heart for his people. And oftentimes, he would be praying for his friends, for his acquaintances, for his people, for the people back at home. Now, we talked about this a little bit in our teen Bible study this morning. This is a pretty serious prayer that Nehemiah is about to pray. The situation, the feeling that he has for this situation, for the other people, the empathy, the sympathy that he has for what other people are going through is deep in this guy's soul. He's not just getting an update. Say, how are they doing? They're not doing good. Oh, that's too bad. You guys want to go get dinner? No, that's not the response that he has. It says that when he hears this, he's so troubled that in his prayer time, he's crying. And when I read through this, I was like, man, I don't know that I've ever been so torn up about something that I've cried in a prayer. I mean, I've been concerned about things. Not much of a crier to begin with. But have I ever been so concerned about something that I've been brought to tears in my prayer and supplication to God? Has anything ever been that serious for me in my prayers? Have I ever been so concerned about someone else that it's brought me to tears when I pray for them? That's some serious prayer, isn't it? His concern was for other people, and I love that because I think I can learn from that. A lot of times my prayers, I'll be honest a little bit here, our prayers can be a little selfish sometimes, right? Our prayers a lot about, well, Lord, I need this, or Lord, I think you should do this, or Lord, this. And his prayers are just super humble. It's all about other people for him, which is kind of a challenge for me in my prayers. And so he goes into his prayer. That's verse 5. It says, then I said, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commandments. This is kind of a neat intro to a prayer. I don't know that I've ever had such a beautiful intro to a prayer. O Lord God of heaven, great and awesome God. He's acknowledging who God is here. Who keeps the covenant of love with those who love him and obey his commands. He's acknowledging and remembering about God's love in this prayer. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer that your servant is praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. What an entreaty to God. Isn't that kind of, it's just beautiful. God, please take a moment to listen to what I'm about to say. This is very important to my heart, God. Thank you for being there and listening. And he goes on. Before he even has a request, he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's house, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws that you gave your servant Moses. I think this is a super integral part of prayer. I think that as we come before God, I think there needs to be a little bit of time of getting our own hearts right with him before we get into our requests. And I think it makes sense because unless we've experienced the forgiveness that we need, how can we ask for it on behalf of someone else if they need it. We need to make things right in our own hearts as we pray for other people. That's not a prayer that we really like to get into, though, right? We don't like to start going through the dirty laundry, the things that maybe we hope God has just kind of wiped under the carpet for that day. It's hard to kind of grapple with some of those things and admit we've made mistakes. But I think prayer time with God can be a very honest time where we can be more real and transparent than maybe we would be with anybody else that we know. And here, Nehemiah, he addresses God, asks God, God, can I have a few moments of your time? I love how polite he is to God here. He's very respectful to God as he approaches him in prayer. And before he gets into it, God, for me and all of Israel, we've been making some mistakes, God. He admits and acknowledges that there's some things he needs help with and forgiveness for. And I think that's a good thing for us to do on a daily basis as well. When we wake up in the morning and we have our morning prayer, Father, yesterday there were some things I probably could have done differently. Please forgive me for those things. Thank you for listening, Father. And then go into your prayer for the day. But I think repentance is something that's huge in prayer. And here Nehemiah gets into that before he has his request. Verse number 8. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations, but if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from here and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. Do you know what he's doing here? He's claiming a promise. And I think that is totally appropriate and awesome to do in prayer, is claiming a promise that God has given to those who've gone before you. And this promise is getting into what he's doing in this prayer. And I love this promise because it's talking about people that have gone and left. And he's quoting the promise where he was saying to Moses that he will go and get them and bring them back. Is there somebody that you know that had a relationship with Jesus that no longer has a relationship with Jesus? Someone who was there and has gone away and left Jesus in their past. Does anybody know somebody like that? Maybe you have family that's in that situation. And here, Nehemiah is praying a similar prayer to maybe one you've prayed for that person. And he's claiming a promise and saying to God, God, you remember how you told Moses that you would go out and seek them out and bring them back to you? Do you remember that, God? God, I'm asking you to do the same thing for me and the people that I'm praying for. Isn't that awesome to know that when we pray for other people, that God will go seek them out and bring them closer back to him? As part of my prayer challenge for you, part two of last week, I want to challenge you to make a list this week of people to pray for like that. People that you know need to come back and have a relationship with Jesus and experience the hope that maybe they once had. Make that list. See if you can put 5 people on there. Think of 5 people. And claim this same promise that Nehemiah is claiming. He says to God, remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commandments, then even your exiled people at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. There's some people that are on my list like that. People I can see their faces right now. People that have said, pretty much maybe without saying it, don't really need God in my life anymore. I'm going to try and go this on my own. I'm going to start making all the decisions for my life instead of asking where God wants me to go. And we all probably know someone that have done that, and it's ended up in disaster. Maybe you can see their face in your imagination right now. We need to be praying for these people, that God will bring them back to where they once were with Him. That God will touch their hearts and convict. That's one of the things in John chapter 16, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. It says that He will convict people of sin. He will convict them that what they're doing is wrong and bring them back into doing what's right. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will touch their hearts and do things that we can't, influence them in ways that we can't even as their friend or family. In page 149 of the book on prayer, it says, Nehemiah humbled himself before God, giving him the glory due his name. Thus also did Daniel in Babylon. Let us study the prayers of these men. They teach us that we are to humble ourselves in prayer. When we come to God and ask Him to do things in other people's lives and intercede, sometimes we have lots of suggestions for God on how to do that because we think we know them better than God does. And here in this prayer, we have an excellent example of humility in prayer. God, remember how you did this. Do something like that. These are your children, God. Whatever it takes, not my will, but your will be done is an excellent motto to have in our prayer life. Page 150, it says, there is a need of Nehemiahs in the church today. Not men who can pray and preach only, but men whose prayers and sermons are braced with firm and eager purpose. We need to pray specifically for God to do things in people's specific lives. And I believe God will do that. Sometimes you may say, well, I've been praying for a long time for somebody. What about that? Here's another thought on this on page 151 of the book on prayer. It says, God in His providences does not permit us to know the end from the beginning, but He gives us the light of His word to guide us as we pass along. The light to maybe even learn how to specifically pray like Nehemiah. God in His providences does not permit us to know the end from the beginning, but He gives us the light of His word to guide us as we pass along and bids us keep our minds stayed on Jesus. What a beautiful quote that is. I love that one. We may not know what's going on. We may have thought of different solutions for the people that we love that need Jesus. And it may not be going exactly like we thought. But we can trust Jesus to continue to work in ways that we don't even know of. Keep having faith. I love it. Like last week with Jairus. Jairus, just believe. Just believe that God can do what He says He can do. So after this, in verse 9, he claims this promise in his prayer. He says, they are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, the king. He said, for I was the cupbearer to the king. He's got a specific prayer request for God to help him be able to reach the people he's praying for with tears. This matters a huge deal to Nehemiah. Do we have the same passion for praying for other people that Nehemiah did? Is it that big of a deal to us that we pray that God changes people's lives? Do we have the same fervor in our prayers that Nehemiah had for these people? I believe that God can do amazing things through prayer. I believe that when we ask God to do something, that first of all, He's listening. And second of all, He wants nothing more than to work with us in praying for other people and doing miracles in people's lives. Sometimes it takes a miracle to get somebody's attention. Is there somebody you know that really needs your prayer today? there are so many people. When I drive through the neighborhoods and things on the way to church, I think about all the different things that people are going through in the homes that I pass. People go through so many different things in life. Heartbreaking picture that came across the news yesterday. The Ohio Police Department was trying to make a statement about the drug abuse that's been happening in their communities there in Ohio. They've had a huge overdose problem, and they posted this picture to get everybody's attention, to tell them how real it is, and to show how much people are messing up in their lives and how much people need to change. And this picture was of a minivan. And there were three people in the minivan, a mom, a dad, and a four-year-old little boy. The four-year-old little boy is in the back seat in his booster seat with his seatbelt on. And his face is blurred out because they do that with kids. And in the front seat were the mom and the dad. And the dad is just, he's unconscious and he's slouched over, limp. And the mom is in the passenger side and she is slouched all the way over the middle console with her head tweaked at a very weird angle. And her hair is all over the place. And both the mom and the dad were hammered on heroin and had overdosed. And here's this four-year-old little boy in the back seat, buckled in by himself. And I looked at that picture and I was like, man, people need Jesus. People need to know that Jesus cares and can help them with the struggles in their life. People are going through so many different struggles that we may not even know about. And you might even know these people well. You might even know about some of the struggles of some of your friends. But they're not going to have any success in overcoming those struggles unless they interact and meet Jesus. And that's the whole reason why we line up these meetings with Ty Gibson and David Asherick and plan on studying about having a relationship with Jesus. First of all, it's a great reminder of some of the awesome teachings of Jesus in the Bible that we get to be reminded of. But secondly, it's an incredible opportunity to find somebody who needs to know Jesus and have the same hope that you have, to have the same forgiveness that you experience. Because everywhere around us, there are people struggling and going through tough times. There are people that the devil is messing with. And they need Jesus. And so, as we close out today, I want to have just a little bit of prayer time, specific Nehemiah prayer time, where we specifically pray for specific people that we know that are struggling with something right now. Pray for someone who's struggling. Pray for someone who needs a change in their life. Pray for someone who lives in your community or needs to come to these Bible studies coming up starting this Wednesday. Because my hope and prayer is that when these meetings are done in a couple weeks, that the folks that you've brought will have experienced Jesus in a brand new way, will have learned how much Jesus loves them, will have learned how much Jesus cares about them, how he knows their name, how he can help them overcome some of the struggles that they have in their lives. So I want to have just you and God for the next few minutes. I want you to specifically, with someone's picture in your mind, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's a childhood friend, I don't know. But I want you to spend some intentional time praying for them as we close today and ask God to touch their hearts and to realize their need for him. I believe in the power of prayer. I love this picture. When we pray, God helps us to break free of our chains. And like this mom and dad, this suburb mom and dad with a kid in the minivan, they had chains on their lives. And it's only through the power of Jesus that we and those near us can break those chains that keep us from fully committing our lives to him. So for the next few minutes, let's just specifically and intentionally pray, just like Nehemiah did. If there's Bible promises that come to your mind, claim those promises and ask God to do a miracle in their lives and do whatever it takes to bring them back closer to Jesus. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. One of the neatest things you'll ever see is the smile on somebody's face when they've come back to Jesus and they realize his love for them. Continue to pray this week for the folks that you've just been praying for. And know that your prayers are being heard. And that you're working together with the King of Heaven to bring that smile to people's face and that assurance and that hope that you have. We're going to sing a closing song right now. It's called My Jesus, I Love Thee. And the Jesus that you know and love is the Jesus who will work on your behalf to reach other people and to touch their hearts. Please stand with us as we sing, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Father in heaven, Lord, we have some people on our hearts today. Some people that we care about and that we love and that we want to come back to you and get to know you more. And Father, as we continue to lift them up this week, we ask that you send your Holy Spirit to touch their hearts, Lord. Do whatever it takes to get their attention, to bring them back closer to you. Father, we ask that you bless our two speakers that are coming, Ty and David. Lord, we just ask that you speak through them so that we are blessed and our visitors and folks that come from our community are blessed as well. Thank you so much, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you. And Lord, we ask that you use us this week in any way you can to reach people for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.